is when you have to do something once that counter hits zero. But if you could come take your seat, that'd be awesome. I hope you're enjoying your morning in church this morning. Wasn't that fantastic worship? Michael and the team did such a great job. Can we put our hands together for them? They put so much time and preparation into what they bring so that they can bring us into a place of the presence of God. And I just think that's so awesome. But today we're closing off our focus series, Focus Living with Purpose. And when I was asked to preach for this series, the irony was not lost on me. I am someone who really struggles to concentrate. I don't know if there's anyone else in the house this morning who's like that. Anyone else that gets really distracted. Anyone else that procrastination could be their middle name because it's probably the thing they are best at doing. I think my mum would attest to that. Any teacher I had in high school would attest to that. And my uni lecturers, they got so many last minute emails from me. I have good intentions, don't get me wrong. I want to focus. I try to focus. But sometimes Netflix is a little bit more interesting. Or I want to focus, but there's something about that last minute pressure that I pretend motivates me, and that's why I leave things to the last minute. It's definitely to be more motivated. And lately I've been on this Apple bandwagon. I think there's a few people in here that are internally sighing right now. I'm a big Apple fan. I really like iPhones. I really like Apple Watches and all that sort of stuff. Luke Grattan's shaking his head at me, but that's all right. Live your own life. Stay in your lane, mate. And the reason I like Apple is, one, because I think they're, you know, pretty. I think the products look nice. But also, I really like that they help me stay organized. I like that they have this whole Apple calendar thing. I can color code it. It's really good. I'm all about the color code life. And it gives me these constant reminders. It tells me, hey, you need to get up. I ignore it, but it tells me you need to get up. Hey, you need to clean your room. Hey, you promised your mum you'd clean the bathroom for the third time, but you haven't. And I'm trying to be a bit more focused in my life. Paper planners, they don't work for me. I'm trying to be more focused because I'm pretty disorganized, and I find that I'm the same with packing. Has anyone really experienced that last minute packing rush? You know you're going somewhere, you get your suitcase out, you tell everyone you're going somewhere, or in my case, you don't tell everyone and you just turn up in Thailand and the pictures are on Instagram. But you have this last minute packing rush and you just kind of pack everything you think you might need. I'll be at home, I'll put my suitcase on my bed and I'll just stare at it for a while and hope that inspiration will hit me. I'll stare at it for a while and I'll think, okay, what am I possibly going to need? Right, I'm going to sunny Queensland. It's January, right. I'm going to pack bathers. I'm going to pack some shorts, appropriate length, obviously mid-thigh, without rips in them. I'm going to pack some tank tops and some cardigans because I'm a good Christian girl. What if it rains? What if there's a cold front while I'm in Queensland in the middle of January? I better pack this winter coat. And what if my ears get cold? I best pack a beanie just in case. What if I decide that I want to clean something while I'm there? I guess I better put some multi-purpose spray in my bag. What if I want to play 15 rounds of Monopoly the whole time that I'm there? I best take some board games. And I know I only wear one pair of pajamas every second night, but what if I take 36 just in case I change my mind about what I want to wear to bed? I better take it with me just in case I need it, because I'm not very good at packing. And you know, you just throw all these things in your suitcase. I'm getting somewhere with this. You throw all your things in your suitcase, you just jump in the car because you're probably late for your flight. You get to the airport, you check in, pretend everything's cool. You go and sit in like in the lounge, you pretend you're more rich than you are. You sit there with your coffee like, I fly all the time. I'm used to this. Even though you're freaking out inside and you've watched too many episodes of Air Crash Investigation. But you're sitting there and you're like, cool, it's going to be fine. You get on the plane, 6 hours to Queensland. You get there, get to the hotel. You start to open up your suitcase and you look inside and you realize you've packed really, really badly. You realize that you've grossly misjudged the situation. Why did you pack so many versions of Monopoly to take to Queensland with you? You thought you'd packed the essentials. You thought you packed the things you needed. But when you look at what you really brought with you, what you have isn't what you needed at all. And while I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about my recent trip to Mug Uva, where I did exactly this. This is not just a fun illustration. This is describing exactly what I did. I took bathers to Mug Uva in the middle of winter. I thought I was packing things that were important. I even thought I was prioritizing things that I would need. But then I got there and I looked at what I'd brought with me and I'd packed the wrong things. And I believe sometimes that we treat our lives like we treat packing. Maybe you're a good packer, but I'm not. And just pretend you're me for today. Maybe you treat your life like this. You pack your time full of things that you believe are priorities, things that you treat like a priority. But when you treat everything like a priority, nothing is a priority. And we miss out on the important things in our life. Sometimes we pack everything we see. We take every opportunity that comes our way, only to find that we wasted our time on things that weren't meant for us in the first place. The things that we choose to pack into our lives, they're not always bad, but are we going to find out that we pack the wrong things when we reach our final destination? Because the Bible tells us that we are preparing for, or we're packing for, a destination. Hebrews 13:14 tells us what that is. It says, "For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come." And that home that we're looking forward to, or that destination we're looking to and we're preparing for, is heaven. And just like packing for a holiday, there are certain things that we need to prepare for, or we need to pack in our suitcase to take with us to our destination. Which brings us to the title of the message this morning. What are you taking with you? Let's pray. If you can bow your heads, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I ask this morning that your presence just be in this house. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're already doing a work inside of us. That this entire service has led us up to a point where we can hear your word. And Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us in a new way this morning, Lord. That you begin to reveal your plans and your purposes for us, Father, so that we can live our lives with purpose and with intention, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. So, if we can't take everything with us, that means that we need to learn to prioritize what we pack. We need to pack with purpose, because every message needs to have a catchy little three-word thing to say. Pack with purpose. Say it with me. Pack with purpose. Okay. And I believe that the Bible highlights three important things that we should be packing in our suitcase to take with us into heaven. The first thing is a Jesus character. That's number one. If you're writing notes, write that down. You can't take your career with you to your destination, but you can take your character. For so many of us, and myself included, we tie our identities to what we spend our time doing. When we introduce ourselves to somebody new, or we're introduced by someone, it starts with, "Hi, I'm Beck," obviously insert your name there, "and I'm a teacher," or "I'm a youth pastor," or "I'm a dad, what do you do? You're a planner at the mines," right? I should know that. But we associate who we are with what we do. It's a way of telling the world what we're about. It's a way of telling the world who we are. But what if our career didn't explain who we were? What if who we were actually explained who we were? What if we were a group of people who the world identified as good because of who we were and not just what we did? Because the Bible tells us that God is far more interested in who we are than what we do. God tells us to be the salt and the light of the world, to bring the God flavors and the God colors out in everyday situations that we're in. Sometimes we beg God to give us a word about our career. We ask God, "God, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to spend my time doing? What's the point of me being here?" But really, we all have the same point. We all have the same purpose, and that is to be more like Christ. See, Jesus, he was a carpenter for 30 of his 33 years on this earth. But instead, we remember him for who we were. Who he was, sorry. You know, I've never read a book about the amazing display cabinets that Jesus built. I've never read a book or watched a documentary about the really cool table he made out of pine or jarrah. They're types of wood, Pastor Aaron. But I have read multiple books and I've read the Bible, and the Bible talks about who Jesus was, not how good of a carpenter he was. The Bible tells us how he used his character and his love to change the people around him, not how good he was with a hammer and a set of nails. Jesus was kind, he was righteous, he was honest, he was a good friend, he was patient, he was persevering, he was love. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we, because we belong to Christ, have become new people. Our old life is gone and our new life has begun, and we are called to be like Christ. We are called to make being like Him a priority, to use who we are as people to touch the people around us, not just to use our teaching or just to use our waitressing or just to use how good of an office clerk we are. All of those things are just vehicles to love others and vehicles to show the world who Jesus really is. We need to make this a priority, because when we stand in front of our Father, when we get to our destination, He's going to say, did you pack your Jesus character? Did you show people what I was really like in the time that I gave you? And something that Jesus was really about was loving others, and that's the second thing we need to pack in our suitcase. We need to make sure that we take with us a testimony of how we loved others in our lives. We are called to be disciples of Christ, which means we need to learn from Him and become more like Him. The Bible says, less of me and more of you, God. Ephesians 5, 1-2 tells us, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. As Christ followers, we're called to be countercultural in the way we interact with the world. And sometimes I'm really personally bad at this. Sometimes I get so caught up in run sheets. I get so caught up in where the chairs are placed. I get so caught up in doing the things I need to do that I forget to actually stop and talk to people. That I forget that I actually come to church on a Sunday to love people, to sit with people, to pray with people, to talk about people's lives. You know, one of my biggest regrets is going to uni and not reaching out to enough people. It's a bit of a joke around my friends that I made one friend at uni. Her name was Zoe and she's great and I love her, but I didn't see uni as an opportunity to get to know people, to spread God's love. I saw it as an opportunity to get myself to where I needed to go, but when I stand in front of God at the end of my life, when I get to my destination, He's not going to say, well done on that HD, Beck, which I got. He's going to say, did you get to know that person I got to sit next to you in that cafe at uni? You know, that person you got grouped with for that group assignment, did you love them? Did you invite them to church? And I didn't. And I don't want to miss out on any more of those opportunities. I want to be able to say to God, yes, I imitated you in everything I did, and I loved others with every opportunity I had. I was countercultural in the way I responded to people. The Bible says turn the other cheek when people, you know, hit you, when someone strikes you. It means don't let people walk all over you, but instead you should respond in love. When people expect you to respond with hatred or anger, respond in love, because that's what Jesus did. Imagine how different our testimony would be as Christians if Jesus responded in anger when people hurt Him, but instead He responded in love, and we're called to do the same thing. No one ever says, gee, I love how busy Mrs. Hemsworth, this is me, Beck Hemsworth, always is. Don't laugh. Don't laugh, Michael, that's rude. I'm going to say it again. Gee, I love how busy Mrs. Hemsworth is. Isn't it great that her calendar is always so full and she never has any time for me? Instead, I want people to be able to say about me, not when I'm dead, but now, Beck is so loving to others. I love that she always has time for people who need her, that she's never too busy to stop and talk. Because Ephesians 5, 1-2 encourages us to live a life full of love, which means we will have a full life when we live a life full of love. That's a promise for us and for other people. A life full of love sounds pretty good to me. So our priorities are to live like Jesus, and our priorities are to love others. But we also have one great commission that the Bible tells us about, and that's to build the kingdom. Because it's all well and good being like Jesus at home with the four people you live with, and it's all well and good loving your friends. But if we never spread that love or spread that Jesus character to other people, what are we actually doing with our time? You might be really great at your job, but if you don't tell other people about Jesus, you've actually missed out on the whole point of your life. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And I believe that the Bible tells us that ultimately our purposes are all the same. Every single one of us. Our focus is to build the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what job we have or what qualifications we have, how rich you are, how rich you aren't. We've all been commissioned to spread the love of God that he has for us and to tell the good news to as many people as we can. You know, something I say all the time to the youth team is, I don't want to stand in front of God at the end of my life and say, the lights were really good at youth group. I did a really good job with the lights. I want to stand in front of God and I want to say, I did everything I could to reach the teenagers of our community. I want to stand in front of God at the end of my life and I want to say, I tried my best, God, to take every opportunity you gave me. And I know that he's going to understand because he's a loving God that I'm a person and sometimes I mess up. But I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, from my Father when I reach my destination. I want him to look in my suitcase and say, yes, my daughter, my love, you packed the right things. I don't want to get there and him say, my darling girl, you focused on the wrong things. I asked you to love others. I asked you to be like Jesus and I asked you to build my kingdom. What did you do with what I gave you? I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm sure that you are the same because we all have so many opportunities in our lives. You don't have to run a church. You don't have to run a ministry. You don't even really have to be a volunteer. All of those things are great ways to do that. But you can just turn up to your workplace and be loving. When someone doesn't get their report in on time, respond with love. Say, hey, it's all good. Don't worry about it. We'll just work on it next time. When they speak to you or they don't turn up for plans, just respond lovingly. When someone doesn't give you the money that they owe you, wipe their debt clean. Forgive people when they wrong you. They are all ways that Jesus loves us and therefore we should love others. And the way that we learn to do that is we get to know Jesus ourselves, to become more like someone, you spend time with them. There's a saying, and I'm sure you've heard it, who you hang around is who you become. And if you hang around with more people like us and you constantly spend time with just people, you're going to become like people. But the Bible tells us people are broken. So we should be spending our time hanging around with Jesus, getting to know him so we can become more like him. I hope you're encouraged this morning to go out into your workplaces and to be Jesus, to love others and to build the kingdom, because it's simple little things that are going to make the biggest difference in people's lives. And wouldn't it be awesome to see someone in heaven that you never thought you'd see there? Someone that you just smiled at, someone that you just said hello to, someone that you just dropped around their house and gave them a meal in a time of need. You never know what being Jesus to someone is going to do for their lives. You could be that one thing that changed their life forever. So let's pray this morning. We're going to pray for opportunities. Heavenly Father, I pray that we as a church are known for our love, are known for what we pack into our suitcases that we take into heaven, Lord. That we are known as people who love others above all else. That we are known as people who prioritize building your kingdom, Lord. That we would go out into our community and we would be salt and light in Mandurah, Lord. That we would imitate you in everything we do, every place that we go, God, and every conversation that we have. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and anoint every single person in this building right now, no matter what stage of life they're in, Father, whether they're a child, whether they're a youth, whether they're a young adult, whether they're an adult, whether they're an older adult, Lord, it doesn't matter what age they are, Father, we still have time on this earth to fulfill your purpose, Lord. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you fill us afresh with your fire, Lord, that you give us opportunity after opportunity to be Jesus to people, to be the tangible presence of God in our lives. Father, we believe with faith this morning that you will do good things through us, Lord. You say in your word in Matthew, Father, that if we seek first the kingdom of God, then all other things will be added onto us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that we would be people that seek you first, Father, and you worry about everything else in our life so we don't have to, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you first loved us so we could love others, Lord. And right now, church, I'd ask if you could just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet right now, everyone across this place. We're going to go into this time of worship, and in this time of worship, I would love it if you could meet with Jesus. I know that's a weird thing to say, but take this time to focus on how he's impacted your life. Because I can guarantee there are so many things that he's done for you, so many ways that he's loved you, that he's provided for you, and it's through remembering those things and through his power that we can be those things for others. So we're going to go into this time of worship now. I ask that you focus on that and be encouraged this week.